Yes, we are back.
Yes, hello, welcome back. Without further ado, episode 9, Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really keep track of the episodes.
Episode 10, without further ado. Very special episode today, guys. We have someone with us. It's not just Kenny and Jan.
We finally got a special guest.
That's right. We ran across the street. We found this gentleman. Looked like a nice guy.
Hello.
Nice enough.
We brought in Uncle Steve.
Yeah, we asked him to be on our show. It turns out he's in the wedding business, too. So it all worked out. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I would like to introduce to you Steve. Steve, what's your last name?
DiMaggio.
Steve,
like the baseball player.
DiMaggio. Yeah, had a streak. Jan, do you know what the streak was?
No.
Most girls kissed in a row at the bars.
Is that true?
No, base hits.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Right.
Steve, thanks for coming. I know you took this last minute notice. You're one of our good friends in the industry.
Yeah, man.
We kind of came up at the same time. We always appreciate the work you do. So I guess just kind of tell us how you got started, your background. What'd you do before weddings? Obviously, now you're a well-known videographer, but you know, what were you doing before this?
Cool. So before getting into wedding videography, I was basically a musician. I was in audio, things like that, coming out of high school.
Where'd you go to high school?
I went to high school in Jackson.
Yeah. Jaguars?
Jaguars,
yes. All right. Before the other high school was built.
Yes.
Yes.
What year?
99.
Phenomenal football team in the early 2000s.
Yep.
They kicked the shit out of me.
Wrestling, too, man.
Leonard? Yeah. They had Brian Leonard?
Yeah.
Castellano, Ceritelli. Yeah. They beat us. They beat us a lot. And then the wrestler, what was the wrestler's name?
Dewey?
Doug Withstanley.
Dewey. Yeah, he's a coach there now.
Yeah.
So when I was when I was in middle school,
right,
I never wrestled because I would have had to wrestle Dewey.
Right, yeah.
And there was just like, no, what,
yeah,
like,
it was
like
the point.
Dude went undefeated for like 10 years. He ended up being the Rutgers coach with Goodall.
Right.
And now he's back he was at the one high school and he had beef with someone and left or whatever.
You don't want beef with a wrestler.
No, my mom was the athletic director secretary for like 25 years.
Did you wrestle though?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, so you weren't going to start there.
No.
Gary Edwards was the quarterback. And he played basketball against me.
Probably. Anyway. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
But yeah, so in high school, I was in band, stuff like that. We're in Asbury. I used to play down at the Stone Pony. Back before there was grass in Asbury, and you didn't have to pay for parking.
Right.
You know?
The good old days.
Exactly. Then after that, you know, I kind of just did odd jobs, stayed in the music industry somewhat.
Do you remember the 18 to party Thursday night they used to have there?
I remember...
I'm sorry.
I remember Club Binet Thursday nights.
Ooh.
I remember Sunday matinees at the Pony.
That was wild. They used to we used to drink like quarts of vodka and drive from Tom's River, and then just they would let us in on Thursday night.
That's insane. Back when they would have like the big. I remember driving home with my dad in our Universal van,
right?
And at the Circle, they'd have the drunk stops there.
Yeah,
and it was like
wow
every weekend, man. But yeah, so that's what I did, you know, after high school. And ended up in a band, ended up on a record label, moved out to California.
Wow.
Did all that stuff.
What'd you do in the band?
I played drums.
You are much more talented than we are.
Yeah, I did a lot of producing and stuff like that. We actually had a dude in the band that was the original guy from Rage. He named Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, wow.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, called Inside Out.
Dropping an F-bombs.
Jack De La Roca. And,
fuck you, I won't do what they tell me, right?
Yeah.
All right.
So Vic ended up... He was a mutual friend. They were all into like Hare Krishna stuff. The guys who I was in a band with there from Bricktown ended up moving out there. Joe Oz, real estate.
Okay.
We were on his label, which is the Gaslighting label.
Wow.
And yeah, so did that, got back, ended up working at a place called Freehold Music down the road. One thing turned into another, ended up working at Sweetwater Sound, which is like a huge company now.
Online. Shout out to Forrest.
Forrest Powell.
Yeah. I remember he used to call me all the time in college to order stuff.
I forgot that you knew Forrest.
You listened to Forrest?
When I quit Sweetwater, I sold Forrest my bed. I swear on my life. But anyway.
Side note, Sweetwater, I think, was the town in Westworld where like the basic...
I think
they just walk in, they're in Sweetwater, and Maeve was like at the whorehouse.
Yeah.
Phenomenal show. Season 3 is coming out soon. All right, keep going.
So in any case, did all that, moved back. When I moved back, I was actually a janitor, and I lost my job when like the whole Chris Christie thing happened and blah, 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 blah. Lost my job, ended up working at another local music store, helped build the store over here, Russo. long story short, it was time to go
yeah.
at that job. And my wife had been a photographer forever. She ran color labs, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And always people needed videographers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Kate and Jimmy.
Yeah.
Their friend got married down south, and they asked Jane to shoot it because she'd done one of their other friend's weddings, and they asked me to just do like video or whatever.
Kenny, that's Kate Gorowski.
Yeah, Kate Gorowski.
Oh, so Kate dude.
Kate Gorowski was
wake up, Kenny.
All right.
Kate Gorowski was the first actual customer or a couple to ever pay Color Room Films.
Wow. Right?
Yeah, legally.
Legally.
So like
wait, Jimmy's in a band.
Yeah, Jimmy's in a band. Jimmy plays drums.
Oh, makes sense.
So,
now.
So what ended up happening was my brother-in-law, he does independent films. We had all these cameras, these Blackmagic cameras. I was using them for the Russo stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I'm gonna like try to do something extra for Kate. So I had the camera.
Wait,
had,
that was your first wedding?
So that was my second.
Oh my God.
I mean, that was a while ago.
Well, it was actually my.
I guess it was.
Technically, it was.
It's like our fifth.
What was that, 2015, 16?
Yeah, 2015, I think.
Dude, we didn't have many under our belt there.
So yeah. I'd done Kelly's wedding.
Belts have gotten bigger since then.
Kelly's wedding, I did like the cinematic style.
Yeah.
And what I did was I had this Blackmagic camera I borrowed from my brother-in-law, and I had a Nikon lens that I actually had to hold onto the camera. It wasn't the same mat.
Wow.
Stole an Ed Sheeran song, like all the rookie crap,
just
right?
Ripped it.
Yeah, man, totally photograph. Like I bought it on iTunes and I thought I was doing it like right.
Yeah,
coming from a dude who like was in music,
right?
I tried to do a cover song of my band, like drum wise, right. And I couldn't even like do it because I don't own the publishing. Oh, like right, you'd think right. I would know better, but anyway. So long story short, Kate ends up booking me to do it or whatever. And yeah, I just bought like a GH4. And just started doing it, man.
Yeah.
And that was with Jackie and Julia.
Yeah.
And, dude, I do like 5 or 6 weddings with Jackie and Julia a year. Still. You know, I work with you guys all the time. And I had one wedding before that at the Oyster Point Hotel, which was a referral from a friend. But my first two were at Oyster Point, and then I was Oyster Point. And then I wasn't back there for like 4 years.
So were you doing, when you started, were you doing just single shooter, just you?
Jane, my wife would help me.
Okay.
Yeah, so Jane doesn't do wedding photography. She'll do it for friends here and there.
Yeah.
But we just never wanted to, when we started the company, we thought we were going to do it. But we just noticed that some of the people that we were friends with that also had wives that did photography, mm-hmm. that, there was, a conflict there.
Yeah.
So we've always stayed away from it for that reason.
Right on.
Well, beef.
About 80% of my stuff is referrals.
Right. That's
so
good.
So I just you know, man, there's I make a good enough living.
Of
I do
course.
What I want to do, man.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, Jane started with me.
Awesome. So you're also known as the one guy in the wedding industry with a red camera.
Yeah, so I had 3 reds.
Right.
Yeah. I had 3.
How did you decide on red? Like you went from the basic intro camera to the Cadillac of cameras.
They reached out to me.
Wow, really?
Yeah, what happened was my brother-in-law was into making independent films.
Okay.
And for years before that, I always heard about the red one. He'd always talk about the red one, and there was like that cool landing page with like the snow scene on the red website. Yeah. And when I started like doing this, you know, so I started the company in January of 2015.
Yeah.
I ended up on the red forum maybe 2 weeks into that.
Wow.
And I just asked some questions like, hey, you know, does anyone use these for this? You know, battery life, not knowing anything about nothing. Vilified. Fried, like I'm talking like I'm surprised it wasn't like on the news, man.
Because these guys are like filmmakers.
Dude, like right? 60 pages. Well, it's funny. It's all the independent filmmakers that want to fry you. Oh, all the dudes battling. Anyone successful is there to lift you up.
Yeah,
and that's just in general in any industry, man.
That's true.
The successful people like always lift each other up.
People be bugging.
Yeah. So in any case, Dan Baum reached out to me from Red, which is a head of sales.
Right.
He found me on Instagram and reached out to me. He's like, dude, he's like, you can absolutely do whatever you want to do. He's like, come up to New York, grab a camera.
Wow.
Okay.
Just to borrow it?
Yeah.
Or you shoot it right there?
So it took a couple months.
Now, for
real
quick, for people out there that are listening, there's 7 listeners now. With your wife, there could be 8.
Yep.
Explain what a red camera is, because I have no clue.
It's a camera that they use to do all the like flashback stuff in The Irishman. So it's it's really big for like visual
there you go.
Effects.
Boom.
It's got very high resolution.
Good in low light.
Yeah, the Gemini is killer in low light.
So, it's like a super high resolution camera.
Yeah, no.
They're like, you know, it's like to get a full built out kit like I had for shooting for 8 hours, it was like, you know, $40,000-$50,000 type of thing.
Wow.
But in any case, so Dan reached out to me. He's like, pick up a camera, went up there, Soderbergh, that guy, Steven Soderbergh, literally was walking out as I was walking in.
Oh my God.
It was during like whatever tennis match they have in the city.
He's a big shot. The US Open.
He was taking it to like mess around at the US Open with. So I go in there. They lent me like a 6K weapon. Went in shot at Crystal Point and the Mill.
Yeah.
Not the Mill Spring Lake, Baskin Ridge Mill.
Okay.
So I shot two weddings on the 6K that weekend, which is the old camera with Susan from Something Blue, Susan Tivick. Yeah, man. So I ended up buying an Epic the week after that.
Wow.
Fast forward, I ended up doing Dan's wedding at Red, like mm-hmm. as a thank you. Dan's awesome. He's like killer dude. Yeah, he actually got me to get on a plane. Like, I don't do planes. And like, yeah. I was like, dude, I'm going to fly out for you.
Wow.
So I ended up with three of them. And then actually, man, just recently, I just got rid of all of them.
No way.
So what happened was, I still think that they're superior in every way to anything else that you can shoot a wedding,
right?
As far as resolution mm-hmm. and capturing goes. But what happened was they put out a phone, and when you put something like that out, everyone starts to figure out what you're using and seeing what you use.
Right.
And then they start Googling it, and they start realizing that you're carrying around a $50,000 camera.
Oh shit!
So I started getting like looks.
Wow.
Like in the bathroom, actually. Like, you know, I wear the moneymaker, and I have the camera, so I'm like in the bathroom, like
yeah.
standing up peeing.
Right.
And like there's like
Jan, you ever do dudes. That?
Do what?
Dan's a
Someone said you're a sit down peer.
But there's dudes like looking at the camera, and I was like, you know what, man? I was like, I think it's become a distraction.
Wow.
And a big thing with my company is like, don't be a distraction.
Yeah.
Don't be the video guy with his butt in Aunt Martha's face that's flown in from Chicago. Like a big thing to me is like, don't be part of the wedding. Don't be a distraction.
Background.
So, yeah. So I made a decision, and I slowly was weaning them off in the past year, and then I got rid of the Gemini in November. I got rid of my last Gemini.
Wow.
And
what are you using now?
I've been shooting the new Blackmagic Pockets. They're cool, man. It takes a little bit more work in post.
Yeah.
They're not a distraction.
Yeah, of course.
It's harder for me to shoot, quite frankly. It's a lot harder to shoot, but. I made the transition at the time where I didn't have a lot of weddings, and I could kind of like really like put my hands on that stuff and kind of like make
yeah.
it. You know, it's almost like if you guys brought out a new mic or whatever and you're, you
new
know,
speakers.
Yeah, or whatever, and you're just trying to figure out if the mic's going to squeal in this corner of the room or whatever, same type of thing. So I'm out of the Red thing, still best cameras possible.
Right. Cool.
I was wearing my Red long sleeve shirt yesterday they sent me.
And does it kill you? Like, you spend all this money on cameras and then people just watch it on their phone?
It's so funny.
Yeah. And the frame.
That's the other thing, man. It's like, you know, it's like they're just going to watch it on their phone.
And I know.
You know?
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, knowing, like, I have my nice LG TV that I had in the store, you know, and I have it at home now, and I'm like, dude, no one even spends as much money on TVs.
No.
But for me...
Not since the 90s.
No, exactly. For me, it was a Sony Vega or something. For me, it was always... That was the best tool for the job
mm-hmm.
to not distract.
Right.
You know, that was the thing. No lights, none of that. And once it became a distraction, it really lost its value to me.
Right. I got a question.
Yeah.
Can I go, Jen?
Yeah, you can go.
All right. This is a partnership here.
Yeah.
Little off topic.
Yeah.
Same topic, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'm a bride. I'm a groom. I'm walking in. I'm the same person. I'm on the fence.
Yeah.
About videography.
Mm-hmm.
Is it videography or videography?
Videography.
Okay.
Well, I say videography, but some people will say like cinematography.
Cinematography.
Potato.
Tomato. Cinematography. So but it doesn't matter because everyone thinks I take photos anyway.
Right. Perfect. I'm on the fence. You know, look, no pictures, last yeah. when am I going to watch these videos, yada, yada, yada. Why is videography important? Go.
So in general, the way that what I think about video in comparison to photography, they both have their places, right?
Right.
But so you look at a picture of your grandmother, your kid or whatever, you know, it's a picture, it's in time. You're like, you're jogging your memory off that picture. When you see the movement, and the way that people interact.
Mm.
Like, let's say your cousin has some funny lisp or whatever,
mm-hmm. yeah.
right? And it's just like, it's like Jared's funny lisp or whatever. And like, it's like everyone loves it and it's just a funny thing he does. That doesn't come across in photos. It's not necessarily that you have to hear it, but you see his mannerisms. You see those things. And honestly, you're not going to sit down and just like look at a photo with somebody.
That's perfect. I mean, personally, I'm terrible at photos. I haven't seen a good angles, but when I'm live,
The high angles are good for you.
Yeah, when it's...
don't want to shoot from below.
Right. When, you know, if I'm sitting there talking to somebody, they're like, oh, this guy's not the gross pig from the picture that I just saw.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. He's
there's more to him.
There's more to him. There's a personality under those chins.
You look at, like, Instagram, right?
Yeah.
I think, personally, Instagram would be dead, like, MySpace style if they didn't have stories.
Or videos.
You know what I mean? Right. Like the stories is such a big part of it.
Stories are huge.
You know, like, I post stuff.
You're lost in them.
And, dude, I don't look at anyone's crap on Instagram. Like, I don't go, like, I go through the stories.
Yeah. You know? That's actually, I read a statistic that they are in stories more than the main feed.
I like I'm old guy, right? Like, yeah. I got two kids. I'm like old dude.
You're a little older than me.
I never did stories until about 6 months ago.
Right.
Dude, I have so many people come through now from Instagram.
Are you filming? Are you posting stories you filmed with your phone or right from your camera? You're bouncing it to your phone?
So when I deliver a wedding film, they get their trailer cut up for Instagram with instructions for Dropbox.
Yeah.
To post. So I just. I just go into my Dropbox. Like today, over the weekend, Susan and Eva, you know, make me up even. Mm-hmm. You guys might not run into her since you're at night. But we do a ton of weddings together, and they both were posting this chick, Brielle's wedding.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, well, I'm going to post Brielle's stuff.
Yeah. Right.
Because they are. Right. You know? So I just go into my Dropbox, just pull it out, put it right up.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Cool.
I'm too lazy to take my phone.
Yeah.
I love being lazy.
You're the best at it.
I am really good.
All right, so let's go into our favorite part of the show.
What's that?
Party tips.
Let's talk about. No, we'll get to that later. All right, party tips.
So I don't know. You probably didn't listen to the last episode, but one of the things we touched on is like do's and don'ts for vendors, other vendors, photo, video guys, venues. Even brides and grooms, you know, planning their wedding. Some of our, you know, tips for like videographer, if we could if we could send a message out to every videographer, we'd be like, yo, get better cameras and put the light away.
Yeah, put the light away is a big thing.
Yeah.
So when I talk to a couple, like the very first thing I ask, like I go through the day, I'm like, who's your makeup? Who's this, who's that? When I get to, you know, the night, obviously, who's your entertainment?
Mm-hmm.
Such a big part of your wedding is your entertainment.
For sure.
And it also tells a lot about what kind of wedding you want to have.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you have NYC Jazz coming in as a band. That's a lot different than having JB Pro.
Yeah.
Right.
Two totally different weddings.
Right.
That wedding, you might be able to get away with a light.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a little bit more black tie.
Sit down, dinner.
Yeah.
Dinner
stiff's
party.
Probably a bad word, but...
No, I like it.
But, you know, when you're having a party, man, you don't want some dude walking around with a flashlight taped to his camera shining it into your guest's face.
Exactly. Because what are you filming if you're scaring people off the dance floor?
Exactly. So and that kind of comes back to the red thing where it's a distraction. It's another distraction. So I think when it comes to, like, party tips, like, what isn't going to be a distraction?
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know?
What about if you could give advice to, you know, potential clients of yours as far as like picking the right venue to help deliver obviously a good wedding as far as the video goes, but also the party. Any tips as far as venue selection that helps your job make you a better product or?
In general, when it comes to venues, and this isn't across the board because there's great places that don't have, that this doesn't happen.
Jan, you're breathing. So fat.
How do you know?
I could hear it through the new podcast system.
Dude, growing up, man, I had this dude who was like big bully growing up. I was in a band with him actually.
Right. Yeah.
And he used to say to this dude, I could hear you getting fatter.
that's me.
Well, we can see it too.
I am on Nutrisystem. So I'm down to 1,200 prepackaged calories a day.
What is it?
Cheetos over there.
It's a diet Cheetos.
Cheetos light.
Listen, I didn't pick the menu. Comes from the chef. I think his name's Dan Marino. Yeah, he makes all the food.
What is that?
It's just trash.
Yeah.
I just eat pizza at night no one's looking.
She's not gonna divorce you, right, Brittany?
She's gone this far.
Right. So just eat what you want, man.
Yeah, but I feel like I can only improve from here.
Yeah, I guess we do have to book clients, and you got the bride that walks in and she's just like, whoa, you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
Do you have a facade? You got a facade to cover that muffin? What were we talking about?
Venues and eating.
Venues, yes.
So anyway, me personally, I've had really questionable luck with outside catering.
Mm-hmm.
Windows on the Border being one of the ones that are not like questionable. Scott does a great job there.
Yeah.
But I was just at somewhere this weekend. They just switched caterers. Actually, a mother of a bride that I did her wedding last year contacted me. She's like, dude, I'm going to a wedding there. Does it suck?
Wow.
And I'm like, I'll let you know after I get fed.
Yeah.
I didn't get fed. And I let her know. Well, I can't tell you if the food's good.
Right.
So, you know, to me.
First time ever, right? We were talking about
so that. So something we were actually talking about before we even started recording this was like, listen, we're not there to get to eat. I know it looks like we're there to eat, but a lot of these venues have it backwards where they're like, I'm going to feed the vendors last because I want my guests to get all the food first and they're going to get the scraps.
Which we understand because they are the guests, they're the paying guests. But at the end of the day, you know, they're done eating and then it's like, all right, guys, now you could eat, but they're done. So now they want to dance again. They want to cut the cake. They need the video. They need the photographers. Yep. They need the DJ for all that stuff. And then it's like, where are they? Oh, we just sat them down to eat. Yo, we don't care about the food. Give us chicken fingers.
Yeah.
Give us french fries.
Boneless chicken.
Yeah, just get anything. And like give it right away and then we're done. And like
I'll take a turkey wrap.
Right.
I don't need wedding chicken or wedding steak.
No. It is wedding chicken.
It really is.
The boneless chicken with the asparagus or the zucchini and the carrots and then like the potatoes.
Right. Rubber like wedding starch. Chicken.
We don't need all that. Just give us
us boneless buffalo wings. We'll be fine.
Give us cheese.
But anyway, take home of this is tell your venue to feed the vendors first because you want them back.
Right. You want them to work with you.
Yeah.
And feed them something.
Well, and Steve didn't get fed. And the other thing is, too, is if you take the perspective as like, now I'm talking as like a couple. If you take a perspective of you being the employer, right? Because essentially we're wedding vendors. We're working for them.
Yeah.
Like, how do you want to be treated at work?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Like how and what I've noticed is the higher end my clientele gets,
and the
more affluent my clientele gets, the more they're worried about stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's not to say that I haven't had couples that weren't worried about that, but my Park Chateau couples come up to me like 10 times, ask me if I ate.
Well, because they're paying that premium price.
Place, they want to make sure. $450. Yeah, they might. But they do. They're you know. So I think that if you take the perspective with your vendors that they're your employees, and I think you'll notice also you'll get a better product back out of them.
Sure, because they can get back to the party quicker and be energized. Video guys haven't eaten for 12 hours sometimes.
Dude, I'm usually on about 8 hours when I'm at dinner. And I bring stuff
We sneak cocktail hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do.
Probably
dude,
not
nothing,
supposed
nothing
to.
Makes, nothing makes like people more mad, like that have been around all day working, than when you've worked like 8 hours, there was no first look, you had to like pretty much work into cocktail and you look out there.
Right.
And the 15 piece band's there eating that showed up 15 minutes before. You know?
Oh, yeah. That's us, but we're 2 pieces.
And you're just like, dude.
Muffin and legs.
Oh, man. They're like in the raw sushi bar. Right. And they're like, you know, going for the seafood bar.
You know what Jan does?
I'm going to tell you. This can't be true.
He stands at the exit to the kitchen, so the people coming out with the pass.
Yeah, that's a veteran move, man.
He knows right where they're coming, so he gets, all right, boom, pig in a blanket. Boom.
Ken is projecting onto me what he actually does.
Nah, nobody's ever seen me do that.
He tugs at the waiter's shirt when they walk by.
Hey, you. Nah, man, give me that chicken.
If the lines are long, you got stuff to do inside.
Yeah,
I got to shoot details. You're in your new room. You're bringing it out for the first time or whatever.
Yeah.
Dude, there ain't nothing wrong with standing by the door knowing the fast food's coming through there instead of waiting on the cheesesteak line.
Yeah.
That's right.
To get back to work.
Right. Give me some puff pastries.
Amen.
As long as you're not online for alcohol.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But that comes down to hiring a professional.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, you shouldn't even have to worry about that type of thing.
No, we don't drink.
You know?
We can't handle it. We'll end up on a bender.
What else about other advice would you give prospective couples as far as let's go with lighting. How important is dance floor lighting for your job?
It's pretty important exposure wise to have a good communication with the entertainment on what they're going to do lighting wise.
Yeah.
what I like is I like a wash
yeah.
on the dance floor, and I like a wash on the door for intros. It's got to be a wash, not a spotlight, though.
Okay.
And that's for exposure. Same thing with the photographer. This is if you want the best looking thing possible
right.
for video and photo.
Okay.
That's what I like. Doesn't matter to me either way. You can do whatever you want to do. Uplighting, take it or leave it.
Yeah.
If you get it.
Neutral colors better.
Neutral colors. Not green.
Not green. Not red.
Not red. Not orange. Yeah, but I think intelligent lighting is like something you can really use to like make your dance floor footage look good.
Yeah.
Also reduces things like rolling shutter with cameras. So like, you know, when you take your iPhone out and you're at a Yankees game and you videotape something, everything's on. Bling, bling, bling,
bling, bling, bling, bling. Met game.
Yeah. Or a Met game.
That's right. No, I'm just kidding.
For the five people that are there.
Yeah.
Any Mets fans?
Los Mets.
Los Mets. But yeah, that's what that is. That's rolling shutter. So when you have intelligent lighting and things like that, you don't get that same effect.
Right.
Also like slow motion stick with Intel lighting.
Right.
Spend the money on Intels. If you're going to have a DJ and you're going to do it that way,
mm-hmm.
definitely get Intels.
Good point. Kenny, do you have an ad read?
Oh yeah. This ad read is from Nutrisystem.
Oh no.
Are you gross?
They sponsored this podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Are you gross and looking to be less gross?
Sure. We all are.
Sign up for Nutrisystem. 1 month at a clip, and they will send you
dehydrated potato starch.
Right.
And space food.
Looks like a shot glass full of quinoa and some Cheeto lights. That's right. Nutrisystem, be less gross. All right. Do we have any more questions for Uncle Steve today? This was good. I think this was better. This is the best one we've ever done.
That so, works for me, man.
Yeah, and if we get, I don't know, one more listener,
yeah,
one more follower on MySpace.
Steve, do you have any questions for us?
Oh, yeah.
For you guys.
Yeah, we'd love to talk about us.
Just before we wrap things
up. We're narcissists.
So how many crews do you guys have?
We have about four teams now.
So do you have like four lead MCs, four lead DJs, or like how do you break it out if a couple comes in?
So what we sell is event hosting.
Okay.
And that guy always brings a partner. So some people will request like me and Kenny specifically.
Yeah.
If they want a one DJ and one MC, we have those guys who only do that stuff.
Okay.
But in general, we're selling like John will be your event host with an assistant.
The assistant's a guy behind there mixing the intros.
Yeah, right. Yeah, then because right. We can also MC from behind the booth.
I only MC.
Yeah, you are. Yeah,
one trick pony.
Yeah, I'm a one-trick pony. I don't want to be bothered with all this tech stuff. I need to be out there grinding with the people,
entertaining.
Right. I got a couple knock-knock jokes I've been working on, a couple magic tricks. So don't forget to check us out.
I mean, honestly, man, it's true. Like one other thing to consider, just because we were talking about like. The reception aspect,
right? Yeah.
And you know, just because I'm sitting here with two DJs, one thing that I think is important also for it is it's good to have someone who's entertaining, and it's also good not to have someone that's entertaining,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, I work with guys that are like over the top, dude, personalities, like over the top personalities. Like,
yeah.
If they talk to you that way in real life, you'd be like, whoa, what the hell is going on right
yeah.
now?
It's like you a know? Bad dream.
Yeah.
It's like Krusty the Clown.
It's like it's like you're in a movie. And that fits some weddings good, too. But I think it's really important reception-wise that those people, like, kind of, they set the mood. And to, like, make sure that your entertainment, you know, locks in with your wedding
match
style.
The vibe of the crowd.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Like I said, man, I have dudes that I work with all the time that, like, seriously, you're like, I've seen like I like knew the photographer wouldn't vibe with them.
Right.
I'm like I got to put these two together. It's like Ghostbusters 2 with the key or one with the ghost, the gatekeeper and the keymaster.
Oh
like,
yeah,
you
gotta, yeah.
Like just watch them. Like,
there is no Dana.
Yeah.
Only soul.
But I do think good. That's reception wise. It's really important also to you know.
Yeah, you got to draw the line. I kind of take pride in not being too over the top. You just kind of lead by example. That's really why how we started. Yeah. Because of like the over the topness, and we're all at all these weddings, and we're seeing these guys, and we're like, these guys are dorks, man.
Yeah,
like
man.
We could do this,
yeah.
And that's like kind of the story of how we kind of got started.
Dude, hire who you want,
right?
And if you can't hire who you want, figure out what you got to get rid of to hire who you want.
Yeah,
you know, and that goes across the whole thing, man. Don't hire
a
DJ you love and then get the video guy that's going to F up the dance floor with his light,
right,
or the photographer that's going to, like, you know what I mean? Like, get who you want. There's ways to get what you want. People like us want to work with people who want to work with us.
Yeah.
And to me, there's always a value to that.
Absolutely.
That's good.
Chemistry. Yeah. Synergy, Kenny. You learn about that in high school?
Shut the fuck up.
I thought you played football.
I did. I didn't learn nothing.
He was a run play quarterback.
Yeah, I handed the ball off.
Absolutely.
All right. So I guess, what episode was this? Do we know?
9, 10, or 11. I'm not sure. Could be 6 also.
In conclusion, we want to thank Steve for coming out once again.
Colorroomfilms.com.
Yeah, what's your handles?
It's just Colorroom Films.
Colorroom Films. Yeah,
makes sense. First guy to shoot in color. That's how I came up with the name.
Last guy to shoot film.
Right.
That's right.
So, follow his Instagram, like his stuff.
Thanks for listening. Tell your friends about this podcast.
Oh, yeah. Definitely tell your friends.
Especially if they're planning a wedding or they're in the industry.
Yeah, we're looking for guests, looking for former brides, grooms, guests of the wedding, mothers of the brides, Aunt Martha's from Chicago. You see that? I was paying attention.
You brought that in there, man.
Wow, that was from 20 minutes ago.
Yeah. give us a shout. Jane, you got an outro song? I guess you'll just throw it in there.
Right? Yeah, I'll throw it in post.
All right.
Learn that word online.
See you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.